Five facts about the call of God. Many Christians are called. Amen. And this is very important. It's an important message, and it's one of the things that Christians need to hear. Amen. If you're a Christian, one of the things you need to be familiar with is the concept of the call of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. The concept of the call of God. And as pastors, it is our duty to make sure that in addition to everything else we teach you about prayer, about faith, about confessions, as Pastor Henry was teaching, about evangelism, about tithe. What else do we preach about in our church? About evangelism, about tithe, about prayer, about demons, about love. What else?
Loyalty.
Okay. All the things we preach are good. But it's also important for us to teach you about the call of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right? Because the truth is that many of us may be called. Hallelujah. Many of us are actually called by God. And we must expect that God will have some interest in our lives to use us one way or the other. Hallelujah. But when you don't know anything about the call of God, then you are likely to miss His call. Amen. And to miss the call of God is to miss a great privilege, isn't it? Is to miss a great privilege that of all the people in the world, God wants to use someone and He chooses you. But you didn't hear it. Isn't it? Yeah, imagine if you went home and you look, or even after the service, you look at your cell phone and you realize you missed a call from President Obama. Yeah, missed call, President Obama, or from the White House. Do you understand? You don't know why they're calling you. Do you get it? But maybe they want you to do something. Obama wants somebody to go to Africa, to your country, to go and do some projects, and he's thinking about you. Do you understand? So the call to work for God is a privilege, or to do anything for God at any level, in any capacity, is a privilege and a blessing. Amen. So, five facts about the call of God. Number one is that many are called, isn't it? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. It says, for many are called, isn't it? But few are chosen, isn't it? Right. So many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called means God is interested in many people. It means God gives many people the opportunity to serve Him. It means God gives many people a chance to be used by Him. But few are chosen, probably because not many respond to the call. Or not many hear that they were called. Are you getting it? So they end up not being chosen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like if we put a sign outside and we say that all people between the ages of 34 and 46, they should come meet here for something, whatever it is. Do you understand? Yeah, so you see that by putting that sign up and saying, all people, that's many, are called. Do you understand? Now, when the event eventually comes up, we may end up with just a busload of people because those are the people who responded. Isn't it? Do you realize that? Yeah. Have you heard about diversity visa lottery?
Yay.
That's what. Have you heard about that visa lottery before? You have? Yeah. Now, that's an example of many are called. How many people do you think are given the opportunity? How many people are given the opportunity to apply? Anybody. Are you getting it? Yeah. But how many of them end up coming? Do you understand? Not everybody, because after that, so many people have been given the opportunity to do that. But not everybody ends up qualifying for it. Some may not even qualify for it because they never even heard about it. Nobody even told them about it. So that's the reason why they may not be. Not that they were not. Not that they were not. Or that they didn't want them to come. Do you understand? But it's like nobody even told them about it for them to have the chance to come. So God's call is also like that. It's an open invitation. It says many are called, but few are chosen. Do you see? Because either the few are interested, or the few actually respond, or the few actually get the opportunity to be guided by somebody into the call. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So it's something that is given wide, and it's an invitation that is given to so many people. But in the end, only a few people end up getting it because of so many reasons. Isn't it? Yeah. Some of them are not even interested. Isn't it? Yeah, there are some people, they've heard about diversity visa, but they are not interested, so they don't apply. So they don't end up getting that visa. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. They are not interested at all. So just because you are not interested doesn't mean the opportunity has not been given to you. Do you see? So there are a lot of people who may not work for God, or who may not take God to a certain height in relating with Him, or who may not end up fulfilling the call of God on their lives, not because God didn't call them, but because they were not interested in the call that they received. They had a different plan for their own lives, and so they were not interested, and not that God did not call them. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God's call is to many. Isn't that what the verse says? Yeah. For many are called. Many are called. Many are called. That means not a few. Many. It's a large invitation. That is why I'm saying that if we are Christians, one of the things we need to hear, one of the sermons we need to hear regularly, is a sermon about the fact that there is a call. There is a call just around you. Amen. Amen. That there is a call, that God is calling you, Stephen, that God is interested in you. And Samuel, that God is calling you, is something you must live with. It's one of the voices you must hear. Do you understand? Just like if there's a diversity visa going on, is it not one of the things you should hear about? You should hear about it. Do you understand? For what it is worth, you should hear about it at least and decide that I don't want it. But at least somebody must tell you about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so somebody must tell you, Sheila, that there is a chance that you are called. Somebody must tell you actually that many are called. That means God is looking for people and you are one of them. Do you understand? And then you can decide, yes, God can take his work out. I'm not interested in him. But at least somebody must tell you that God is interested in you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So many are called, but few are chosen. Hallelujah. And I pray that you will be one of the chosen ones. Say amen. Look, in everything that opens its door to so many people, in everything that invites many people, the ones who end up chosen are considered privileged. Is it not the truth? Yeah. So it's the same thing with the work of God and with the call of God. Many are called, and the ones who end up getting chosen are privileged, and it's a blessing. And I pray that you will be one of the chosen ones. That you will be one of the people that God will use. Isn't it? That you will be one of the people who will hear that call and say, Lord, here I am. Choose me. Send me. Here is my application. Do you understand? Yeah. Just the way we fill the application and we send it and we go and pray and fast. Do you see? And somebody will even collect milk from us, say, and bread. that you should bring it for him to fast for you to get the diversity visa. Somebody told me that actually. Person told me that. Certain priest or prophet or somebody like that somewhere. You have to give him milk and bread and other things so that he can fast for you to get the diversity visa lottery. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So what does it mean? Many are called. It means large numbers of people are called, isn't it? It also means masses are called, isn't it? It means huge numbers of people are called, isn't it? And it means numerous people are called. It means countless people are called. It means lots of people have been called. It means the majority of people are called. It means most of the people are called. Because the invitation is to many. And it just makes sense. There are 6 to 7 billion people in the world. If you were God and you wanted to reach them effectively, do you think you will call just a handful of people? You're not likely to call a handful of people. You're going to call a lot of people. Especially when you know that in the big call, only few will end up being chosen. So you're going to cast the net wide, isn't it? And so God is casting his net wide. You are privileged and blessed to be in a meeting where somebody is talking to you about the call of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That God is interested in you. That God is interested in you. That God wants to use you. That is a blessing. Whether he wants to use you as a pastor or wants to use you as an evangelist or wants to use you maybe as a singer, a worship leader in the house of God, or wants to use you to teach little children in his house, or wants to use you whichever way he wants to use you, that's up to him. But at least you are supposed to say, here I am, send me. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who calls you, he can decide what he wants to do with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. How can you have your own plans for your own life when you are not the one who sustains it? How can you have plans for a life that you don't control? You don't even know what it takes to wake up in the morning. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why don't you give that life over to God and allow him to use your life such that every day becomes a privilege? Every day becomes a blessing. It becomes an opportunity to live to fulfill the call that he has upon your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Wow. So it's very, very important, and it's not a strange thing. This is not a message just for preachers. Amen. It's a message for ordinary congregation members. It's a message for church members. Gloria, you need to know that many are called and that it's likely that you are called. See, you need to know that many people are called, that there is a wide invitation, do you understand? And that you most likely are called, do you understand? Then you should pray that you'll be one of the chosen ones. But as for the call, is there. Amen. God is looking for people. God is looking for people. God wants people to serve him, and I pray that you'll be one of them. Amen. Number two, the second fact, I'm giving you five of them. Number two is that there is a call to fruitfulness. There is a general call also to fruitfulness. Isn't it? There is a call to fruitfulness. Hallelujah. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Keith Green said, you don't need to hear a call. You're already called. You don't need to hear a call. You're already called. Isn't it? John chapter 15 and verse 16. Look at this. Is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually. John chapter 15 and verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me. Can you see that? But I have chosen you. And what? ordained you that you should go forth, go and bring forth what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Hallelujah. Amen. Sheila, can you see what the verse is saying? It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Isn't it? Now, how we love the second part. Do we not love the second part? Do you love the second part? Stephen, do you like the second part? It says that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. That's what we want. We want God to answer every single one of our prayers. Is it not true? Yeah, we want God to answer even impossible prayers. When I say impossible prayers, the prayer itself is not even scriptural. Do you understand? The prayer, the thing we are asking God for, is it goes against what the Word of God says. But we even still have faith that God is going to answer such a prayer. Do you see? And we want God always to answer our prayers like that. But the Bible says that we are chosen and ordained to go and bring forth fruit. And if we do that, then whatsoever we ask the Father in his name, he will give it to us. Can I have an amen? Amen. So look at it. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Do you understand? I have chosen you that you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So isn't that a call already? Because it says, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Amen. Amen. So you have been as apprehended. You have been called aside. You have been put together. You have been extracted from among people. Do you see? And you have been chosen and ordained that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And this is a verse for everybody. Hallelujah. This is a verse for everybody. Because if we don't accept this as being for everybody, then everything else in that chapter will also not be for everybody. Do you understand? We are putting ourselves in danger if, because we don't want to obey this, we start to rationalize it that way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to understand that God has already chosen us. He wants us to go and bear fruit. Hallelujah. If we just follow this to its logical conclusion, every Christian is supposed to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Anyone who is expecting that whatsoever they ask the Father in his name, he will give it to them, they must also necessarily be people who accept that they have been chosen and ordained by God to go and bring forth fruit. Can I have an amen? Amen. What do you think? Is it not the case? Yeah. So Gertrude, it's not just the pastor who is chosen, but you also are chosen. Amen. God has chosen that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask him in his son's name, he would give it to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's a call. Amen.
Amen.
If this is not a call, then I don't know what a call is. Hallelujah. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know that the Bible says no one can come to God except the Father draws him? John chapter 6 and verse 37. It says, no one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. John chapter 6 and verse 44. Hallelujah. Have you got it? All that the Father giveth me shall come. No one can come to me. Verse 44. No one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen.
Amen.
So he says you can't come to him except the Father draws you to him. Hallelujah. So if you are in Christ, it means you've been drawn. Now, in the other verse we read, he's telling us the purpose for the drawing, isn't it? Which is that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. And if we do not accept that verse, then all the verses around it, all the verses before it and around it, none of them applies to us also. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Like there's a verse 9, it says, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. That does not apply to you. Isn't it? Yeah. Then verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you know, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. It's not true. No, because you are not the person he's talking about. Because the person is talking in that same conversation, he does not switch subjects. He does not switch the people he's addressing. He's talking to the same people and he's saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All of these things he's saying, they don't apply to you at all. Do you get it? And if this chapter does not apply to you, then the one before also does not apply to you. Do you understand? So, for example, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. He's not talking to you. It's none of your business. But the worst one is when he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I'm going away to prepare a place for you. That's not you. Do you understand? He's not going anywhere to prepare any place for you. It's the same conversation. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So if we accept part of it, we must accept the whole of it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So there is a general call to fruitfulness. God wants us to be fruitful in him. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, number 3 is an interesting one, which is the reason why many people exclude themselves from being called, which is that some people are called in a spectacular way, isn't it? That's number 3. Some people are called in a spectacular way, like Acts chapter 9 and verse 3 to 6. We have the example of Saul, who was called. Okay, Saul, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, this is spectacular, isn't it? Imagine, Gertrude, when you're driving home tonight, and then suddenly a light shines around you. It's dark, but suddenly it becomes bright. And you look around and you wonder what is going on. And before you can make out what is going on, you hear a voice. And the voice says, Gertrude, Gertrude, why are you doubting my voice? Do you understand? Are you not going to be scared? Yeah. But that's what happened here. Do you see? Now, because somebody was called under such circumstances, and because the Bible has quite a few instances like that, like a little boy Samuel who was sleeping and he was hearing someone calling him, Samuel, Samuel, in the middle of the night. So people feel that because they have not experienced such a voice or such a shining of light, then it's not likely that they are called. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what we are saying in this point is that, yes, it is true that some people can be called in a spectacular way. And when you have spectacular experiences like that, you shouldn't discount it. You shouldn't say it is the product of luck. Do you understand? Or chance. It's not a chance happening that you alone, as you're going home, you can hear a voice in your car. Or that you sleep and you have a certain dream and someone is talking to you. Do you understand? See, I gave some tips. I gave some messages, bishop's messages, to a certain pastor. You know, he's not a lighthouse pastor. I just gave the messages to him. I blessed him with a gift of the Makane. And he loves it absolutely. And has been listening to it and listening to it. And then I gave him a couple of books as well. And he has been reading the books and listening. Now, recently, I heard that he says that, look, these days, every time he sleeps, he has a dream. And he can see, in the dream, Bishop is speaking to him and giving him instructions. Yeah, he says in the dream, every time he sleeps, he has a dream. Bishop is in the dream talking to him and giving him instructions about his church. So he was just wondering, what does it mean? Do you understand? And then I said to him, well, what else does it mean? I think it means that God is telling you to take this man as your pastor and as your spiritual father so that he can guide you through him and bless you through him. Do you understand? So I'm just trying to say that it is not natural and it is not usual that you sleep every time and you see the same person in your dreams giving you instructions about your church all the time. Do you get it? Every time you sleep, it's supernatural. So in that supernatural occurrence, we can say that God's voice is there and God's direction is there and God is calling him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is calling him. I believe that God is connecting him to the bishop so that he can guide him in the ministry that God has used him to start. Hallelujah. Amen. But that is only one type. The next point is point four, which says that some people are also called in an ordinary way. You get it? Some people are also called in an ordinary way, which means that a lot of people who are called will not have such an experience. And really, if you look in the Bible, you can actually count how many of such experiences there are. If you measure that against the fact that the Bible says many are called, and then we read about few instances like that, then what happened to the rest? How were the rest called? Most likely, those people were called in a very ordinary, non-spectacular way. Can I have an amen? So when you read 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11, we realize that God also has a way of moving and being very present in a non-spectacular way. In the first story we read, the light shone around. You know, the guy fell off his horse. He became blind, you know, and then he heard a voice speaking, and the voice said, "Saul, Saul," you know. Someone you've never introduced yourself to, the person knows your name and is calling you in the middle of the road. That's very spectacular. But that's only one way that God does his things. Here is another one. He said, and he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." Can you see that? Stand upon the mount before the Lord. So before the Lord. And then it says, and behold, the Lord passed by as you would expect. Because if you are standing on the mount before the Lord, you should expect the Lord to come by. That is his presence. You are where God is. So like when you come to the house of God, you come to church. This is his house. One of the things you must expect is his presence. You must expect his voice. Hallelujah. But now how will you recognize his voice? He says, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Can you see that? And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. So you would have thought that as you have come to the mountain of the Lord, and as the wind is blowing and there's a strong wind that is breaking mountains and breaking rocks to pieces, do you understand? You would expect that that is where the Lord is. Because after all, you are in his place, isn't it? But the Lord was not in that. He was not in the earthquake either. So in the next verse, the Bible says in verse 12, and then after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Do you see? And then after the fire, a still small voice. Hallelujah. A still small voice. Hallelujah. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Hallelujah. So you can see that a still small voice, one of the characteristics of the voice of God is that it is very small, but still means constant. Do you get it? It is there. And you feel it and you know it. And there are some of you who have such a feeling. You, every day it occurs to you that maybe God is calling you. Do you understand? Every day you get a small flash that maybe I'm supposed to be a priest, or I'm supposed to be a pastor, or God wants me to be serious with him, or that God wants me to serve him in a more serious way. God wants me to be more committed to him. One way or the other, you can hear a still small voice. It's a small voice, but it is there in a very stable way. It is always there, and it is always with you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that is another way that God expresses himself. And then the last one for tonight, some people are called through their desires. Some people are called through their desires. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, the saying is true, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Amen. So you can also enter into the call of God, or enter into the work of God through a desire. One of the ways that you can know that God is calling you to something is the desire you have in you for that thing, towards that thing. Hallelujah. That is one of the ways you can know. God often works through our desires. The Bible says it is God who works in us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says it is God who works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So when you find yourself wanting to do his good pleasure, you find yourself interested in God's things. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. God makes you willing, and he also makes you able to do his good pleasure. Hallelujah. So God can work in you to make you willing and interested in something. God can stir up a desire in you to sing. God can stir up a desire in you to lead worship. God can stir up a desire in you to preach. God can stir up a desire in you. You can even have, sometimes you'll be there and you'll be listening to a preacher, and then there comes from nowhere a desire in you that makes you say, I want to be like this person. Hallelujah. Amen. It comes from God. It comes from God, I tell you. It is from God that you get that desire. You suddenly feel like, you know, I wish I could do this like this person. I wish I could preach like this person. I like what this person does. I wish, and you even sort of envy him. And sometimes the honor and respect that we have for what somebody does is actually the evidence of a stirring of a desire in us, because God has given you eyes to see beauty in what the person is doing. And that has led you to admire it. And that is often followed by a desire to be like the person or to have it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we must also know that if we have such desires in us, it is not to be taken for granted. Amen. Amen. That it may be the evidence of a call. It may be the beginning of a call, that God is actually calling us to something, and that is why he has placed the desire for that thing in us. Amen. And so as we follow the desire, we're going to find that it will lead us eventually into a place where we can exercise and walk in that calling and be who God has created us to be. Hallelujah. So knowing that many are called, all of us need to pray for the grace of God to fulfill the call. Hallelujah. Pray that you'll be one of the chosen ones. Isn't it? Yeah. That you'll be one of the ones that will be chosen by God. When you go to someone's house and they pull their drawer, see, it's full of spoons. You say, that means many are called. That's how come you're in the house. But now he's going to choose one to do something with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm saying you should pray that you will be the one he will choose. Amen. Out of all the options in the drawer, you'll be the one he will choose. Hallelujah. So God has called you and he has brought you near. Even your interest in church, to want to be in church on a Tuesday evening, that itself is evidence that God has brought you nearer to him. But you need to now say to him, Lord, I want you to choose me. Amen. Because I don't just want to be called. I want to be chosen. What do you think? Because there's no point in being called without being chosen. What is the point? If we go back to the visa example, what is the point? You heard about it and you applied, but you were not chosen. No. If you have gone that far to hear about it and to apply, then the next thing you want is to be selected. Hallelujah. So we need to pray that, Lord, as you are calling people and as you have called me, I hear you. I want you to choose me. Choose me. Choose me for anything you think I can do. Anything I can do, Lord, just choose me and use me for it. Can I have an amen? So stand to your feet tonight and let's bring the service to a close by praying and asking the Lord to choose us. Amen. So talk to the Lord and say, Lord, please choose me for your glory in Jesus' name. I want you to use me and choose me. Thank you, Lord. Pray, everybody. Makabo shataria. Mikoso kotoria la masaka barababam. Mikoso toria la barababe. Mikodoromo seteria la barabashanaria la baba. Miko sinaria la baroshanaria la baba. Mimakanaria la baba. Mikoso kotoria la mamroshe keteribe bebe canaria. Ile sakarabala babrushe neriala baba mikodoro bushneria bala babrush nerebe kanaria bushneria mikolo semerebe shneria la babara baba. Pray everybody and say, Lord, I realize that you're calling people, so please call me, O God, choose me, Lord. Let me be one of those that is chosen by you in the name of Jesus. I want to be chosen, Lord. I don't just want to be called. I want to be chosen. I want to be one of the few in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Savior, Savior. While on others you're calling, oh, while on others thou art calling, oh, do pass me by. Saint Savior, 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 Savior. Please hear my humble cry. Yes, while on others you are called, only, Lord, do not pass me by. Sing it one more time and say, Savior, Savior. Many people are invited, you know. Hear my humble cry. Whoa, while on others you are called, only, Lord, do not pass me. so much, Lord, for tonight, and thank you for reminding us about the call, that there is an invitation. It's a wide open invitation to so many people from all walks of life, with all backgrounds, with all shortcomings and failings, so many people. But then only few end up being chosen. And Father, we pray that whatever the criteria is for the choices you make, that you will be merciful unto us and include us, Lord. Be merciful unto us, Lord, and include us. That not only will we be called, but we will also be chosen, oh God, to do the great work of God. In the name of Jesus, bless your people in Jesus' name. And thank you for your call. And thank you for choosing us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Are you